Good morning. It's always a privilege to be here with you at the convention. So this morning I want to ask you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 19. I'd like to look at a very familiar verse, but it holds a particular significance for me, and I'd like to share a bit from that this morning. Isaiah 43, verse 19. The Lord says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, as I said, that's probably a familiar verse here. I'm sure you've heard that a number of times. But it holds a special significance for me in that this was the kind of foundational verse or cornerstone verse that the Lord gave to me in the planting of our church about 5 years ago. And he spoke that to us, and it was a word of confirmation for me about what I was supposed to do at that time. And of course, in the context of a new church plant, that verse makes a lot of sense. The Lord says, "I'm doing a new thing," and we were encouraged by that to pursue this new thing that he had in front of us. But you know, over the last 5 years of leading that church and just in my walk with God, I've come to realize that he's always doing new things. And it's not just about a new church plant or a new work or a new Bible school, but all the time, God is doing something new. He's a God of newness. He's a God of new things. He's the creator God. And when we look at even the story of creation, it's interesting to me that God didn't just snap his fingers and say, "Let there be everything." But there's something about this creative process that he seems to delight in. And each day he creates something new, and then he pauses to look at it, consider it, and he says, "It's good." He's a God of new things. He delights in newness. He delights in creating new things. And he's just been revealing more and more of that to me, that he's always doing something new and that he delights in that creative process. And you know, another example we have is with the children of Israel when they're in the wilderness and they ask God for provision and he gives them manna from heaven. Now, why didn't he just give them 40 years worth of manna? We know that he could have done that. It was well within his power. And yet, for some reason, he decides each day he's going to give them something new, something fresh. And of course, on the Sabbath day, the day before Sabbath, he provides for 2 days so that they don't need to labor. But he encourages them each day to seek something new from him. He could have just given them a year's supply. And yet something about that newness, something about him creating, reflects an aspect of his character that I'm just growing to appreciate more and more, that he's a God of new things. All the time he's doing something new. All the time he's creating and delighting in that creation. Each day that manna was fresh from heaven. And you know, it speaks to us about how we're not called to live on bread alone, but each day receiving that fresh word from him. He wants to do something new each and every day. He doesn't want us to live on old manna. He doesn't want us to be content with past experiences. Now, I so appreciate what Pastor Gazaway was sharing last night about that desire, that zeal for revival. What is revival? It's a new move of God. It's a new thing that he's doing. And he encourages us to press into that, to seek after that. He delights in newness. And I think God created us with an appreciation for new things. Don't you appreciate when you get something brand new? There's just something about it that's special. After time, it kind of loses its luster. But, you know, we all love the new car smell. There's something about a new piece of clothing. It's spotless, perfect. That new thing, I think that's a reflection of God's character. He delights in new things, things that are perfect. And you know, this is the essence of the vision of Zion, that we're never to settle with things of the past, but that we're to press on, to pursue, to seek after the new things of God. It's amazing to me that we can spend all of eternity and never fathom the fullness of who he is. We get a little glimpse of that just from reading his word. Every time we come to the word, even if you've read that verse 1,000 times before, he can speak something new to you through it. He's a God of newness. And we'll get to enjoy that for all of eternity, seeing new aspects of who he is, new aspects of his character. There's an incredible passage in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" This is the God we serve, the God of new things, the God of newness. From beginning to end, he never stops doing new things. It began with creation and it continues on to eternity in the New Jerusalem, a God who continues to make all things new. And I'm so encouraged by that because sometimes it feels like we can get stuck in those old ruts or those old cycles or those old habits. But he says, "I'm making all things new. You don't have to live on the old manna. I have fresh bread for you. I have a fresh word for you." And I'm so thankful that he is the God of newness. So I want to ask you this morning, did you come to this convention hoping or maybe even expecting something new from God? Because if you didn't, I hate to tell you, you're just going through the religious motions. If you didn't come with an expectation, if you weren't looking to him for something new, then you're just being religious. You're just fulfilling your obligations. You're just checking the boxes. He wants to do something new. All the time, he's doing new things. He's the God of new things. So the question is not, will he do something new? The question is what he poses to us in Isaiah. He says, "Will you not perceive it? Behold, I am doing a new thing." In fact, it's already begun. He's constantly doing a new thing. But will you perceive it? Is your heart attuned to the new thing that he wants to do? Now, of course, just because something's new doesn't mean that it's of God. Scripture warns us about not being tossed about by every wind of doctrine. So just because something seems new or exciting or fresh doesn't mean that it's of the Lord. We're responsible for exercising discernment, recognizing what's of him and what's not. But he says, "I'm doing a new thing." So we don't need to ask, "God, do you want to bring revival?" We don't need to ask, "God, do you want to do something new?" He says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." So our prayer should be, "God, would you help me to perceive it? Would you help me to recognize the new thing that you want to do? Would you help me to enter into that new thing that I might partake of the joy of experiencing that newness that you want to bring?" John chapter 3, verse 8, describing the Spirit, it says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. But you're being led by the wind of the Spirit. And friends, sometimes that can be a little bit scary to not know where it's going. And we might be tempted to stay in that place of safety and comfort and say, "I'm familiar with this. I already know how this works. Let me just stay here." But if we're going to be led by the Spirit, if we're going to respond to the wind of the Spirit, it's going to lead us into places that we may not even understand or recognize. It may lead us to a place that we don't know where it's going. I don't know what your experience has been with God, but rarely does he lay out for me the 5-year plan and then leave me to do it. In my life, it's daily manna. And someone once told me, your only obligation is to wake up every morning and obey God. He's got a new word for you each and every morning. He's got a new direction. The wind might blow in a different direction than you were anticipating, than you were planning for. But will you be led by the Spirit? Usually God gives us one new step at a time. And he asks us to follow, even though we may not know where it goes. He asks us simply for obedience. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Will you perceive it? Will you respond to it? Will you obey when I speak? When I ask you to walk out onto the water? When I lead you into uncertainty? When I ask you to pursue those treasures that are only found in places of darkness? Will you respond to the wind of the Spirit? Will you allow him to blow you into those places that you wouldn't otherwise walk? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Will you perceive it? So how do we perceive what it is that he's doing? How do we discern the move of the Spirit? How do we ascertain the direction that he wants us to go in? Well, there are many different things that we could talk about. And I'm used to three-point sermons, but I'm on the clock today, so I'm going to reduce it down to one thing. And we've already heard this verse a few times throughout the convention. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Transformed by the renewal of your mind. This is God doing something new. This is the God of newness, transforming the way that we think and perceive. And that word renewal, what it really means is to see again through newness. So it's not so much about circumstances or situations changing. It's about our perspective being changed. It's about our mind being renewed. We may be looking at the same things, but we're seeing them very differently because we're now seeing them through the lens of the newness of the Spirit. It's not so much about what's happening to us as it is what's happening in us. That's what God is most concerned about. And having a heavenly perspective requires a renewed mind. You know, all of us have blind spots. If you don't think you do, that's your blind spot. We need our minds renewed. We need to see again through newness. We need a new perspective on some old truths. Things that maybe we've started to take for granted or given up on. The pursuit of revival. We need to see it again through newness. We need our minds transformed to really taste and see what it is that he has in store for us so that we will pursue it with that zeal of newness, freshness again. There's a really interesting verse in 1 Samuel 16, and this is where God is choosing to anoint David. He's essentially removing Saul from his plan, and he's placing David in this role of king. And God comes to Samuel, and he asks this simple question. He says, "How long will you mourn for Saul? How long will you mourn for Saul?" Now, Saul was the epitome of God's plan at a given point in time. He was the chosen one, the anointed one. But God says, "I'm doing something new. How long are you going to mourn for what happened in the past? How long are you going to set your eyes on what's already happened?" And I like that God doesn't really chastise him. He understands the mourning that has to take place here. This was a man of God that was fallen from God's grace, and Samuel was grieving over that, and I think he was right to grieve over that. God doesn't say, "Why are you mourning?" But he says, "How long?" He's asking him, "How long are you going to keep your eyes on the past? I want to do something new. Are you ready to perceive it? Are you ready to enter into it? How long will you mourn for those things of the past, even the good things?" You know, the fastest way to quench the spirit of revival is to talk about how great things used to be. You can't look forwards and backwards at the same time. We see Lot's wife who turned back and desired something of the past. We see the children of Israel talking about, oh, how wonderful it was in Egypt. And they perished in the wilderness because they didn't perceive the new thing that he was going to do. If we're constantly longing for the things of the past, the glory days of old, we're going to fail to perceive the new things that he has in store for us. And the past is a blessing, and we want to stand on those milestones and remember the faithfulness of God and thank him and praise him for that. But he's leading us into new things. Those past experiences are to propel us forward into his purposes for the future. So what new thing does God want to do in your life, in your ministry, in your church, in this fellowship? Where's the wind of the Spirit leading? What new perspective does he want to impart to you? And don't try to live on that 40-year-old manna. He has fresh, new life for each and every one of us. He's the God of new things. So I want to encourage each of us this morning to ask him to renew our minds. Let us be transformed in the way that we think, in the way that we perceive, so that we might recognize and enter into the fullness of those new things that he has in store for each one of us, so that we can join with the purposes of heaven and seeing his kingdom come and his will being done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord bless you.